It is season six of the Healthy as a Mother podcast, and we are so excited to share our life updates as we kick off this season. Dr. Morgan and I have a lot going on, her with her four kiddos and just navigating work and life and motherhood, and me being 31 weeks pregnant and having a toddler and also navigating work and all of the things. So we share all the juicy details of where we are at personally in our life right now as we kick off season six. And we're so excited to share. This is a very real and raw episode. So if you want to feel like you're sitting on the couch with us while we vent to each other as best friends, this is definitely it. So without further ado, let's share about our lives. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Staying truly deeply hydrated with minerals while trying to conceive, during pregnancy and birth, and throughout your breastfeeding journey is very important. And nowadays, there are more options for this than we can even count. For Dr. Leah and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight electrolyte powders by Redmond Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt, which contains 60 plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavor is strawberry lemonade. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the other products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating. All right, welcome back to the podcast. This is season five now, which is exciting.
Six. Oh, we in six?
No, yeah, no,
I think we're
five. I don't even know. Maybe we should re-record this. That's okay. We won't. We'll keep it in here for clarity's sake because
I'll look it up right
between the two of us. We've been. This isn't going to be like, you know, the most exciting life update other than just real motherhood moments. Maybe we should call them that, real motherhood moments with Dr. Leah and Dr. Morgan, because you guys,
no, we like season six.
No,
this is season six. Yeah.
I'm blown away. I don't think so. I really don't.
Yep. I'm looking at our Asana right now.
Okay. I guess. Okay. This is the first episode of season six. Anyways, we are still moms, just like you guys.
We are still moms.
Yes.
Nothing has changed in that world.
Nothing has changed. It's only just compounding. There's just more kids. And then comes more challenge and more love, obviously. It's the best thing ever. Yeah. But man, I mean, it is like a whole to-do. So what we try to do in the beginning of episode or the beginnings of the season is to do like a little bit of a life update and to see where we are, like Leah, where you're at with your pregnancy, third trimester now, and your birth prep and all these different things, and like how you're balancing work. And then with me, whatever's happening with me, I guess I'm not like immediately postpartum anymore. So it's just like life with now four kids, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we have going for you here. And I just think actually the beginning of this episode is so indicative of the way that I feel like my life has gone, which is not knowing what's happening at any moment. it's just so much. I feel like the way that I've lived my life in the past is really full, right? I like to have lots of things on my plate. So do you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's something about that that I've learned adaptively, which is that I do better in like high stimulus environments. And so I kind of pack my life all the way up to the brim of absolutely popping off, overflowing, freaking out. But I keep it right underneath. And so then everything's fine. And I'm like happy, like things are chilling.
You're thriving, your cup being super full.
I thrive in that and hold. So I just feel like I get to this place where like things will be chugging along, you know, for weeks. And it's like the kids are in a couple of little sports or whatever. I try not to pack their lives too full. And then you and I have the podcast, and then I have my business, online business. You have your online business. We're like also just people. We're not robots, right? So we have friends and lives and vacations and different things that come up. But then like when things, well, first of all, adding on, somebody said to me the other day, I was explaining the way that the summer has gone because everything, I feel like it was all fine. And then now August has just absolutely gone to SHIT. Like mm-hmm. It has been such a hard month for me and our whole family. And she was like, you are still only within the first year of having a new baby. Like most, like, yeah. And it just, it's obvious. Duh, I know that. And at the same time, I just think I wasn't really giving myself the mental grace and capacity, like, you know, slowing down. I'm actually working more now than ever.
Yeah.
I have been this whole year. And that's kind of nuts. Like, I don't know why I don't step back and think about that sometimes.
And you're trying to homeschool. I mean, yes. Homeschooling alone is like a full-time thing without working, without having a new baby. So I honestly don't know how you're alive and you're not sleeping. It's not like you have a baby that sleeps all night and you're not breastfeeding and you have some other person coming and taking care of your child. You know, I mean, everything you're doing is so intense. I think back on my postpartum with Avia and I was barely working. I had a nanny. She slept great, you know, and my experience was obviously fine, but it's like, I couldn't have done more than what I did. I cannot imagine having three other kids and working and homeschooling and having health issues or whatever. It's like, I mean, kudos to you. Not that I'm like, yay, keep doing that because it's so great to see you like overwhelm yourself, but I just can't even believe that you have done everything you've done this year. It's insane.
Well, thanks for saying that. That's really sweet. I think it's like a sickness. It's like a disease.
Let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah, because it takes a lot for me to see it like that because I'm hard on myself sometimes with mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I'm like, nope, you should be able to do it. Like, it's okay. No, it's not that big of a deal. Like, these are the mantras I have in my mind is like, nope, it's fine. It's going to be okay. Like, most of the time it'll be fine. Maybe it'll be some hiccups here and there and some hard moments, but then it'll be okay. And then I sometimes see that, right? Like I get that positive reinforcement for the life that I live that's crazy where I'm like, oh, see, like I can do this. It's fine. But then, mm-hmm. but then everything comes crashing down when someone gets sick or, you know, exactly. Like it's starting to really hit me. This lack of sleep situation is starting to feel really bad now. And we already had some trips planned and things. So we're going to sleep train her very soon, and it's been requested that I track that process thoroughly, so I will be talking about that a lot on Instagram. I'll make like a highlight or something so people can refer back to the way that it went for her, and just like really quickly, the way that we do it is just that Wes will be the one who handles her at night, and as soon as she starts to really learn that like she doesn't get milk at night anymore from me, you know, every time she wakes up that she doesn't get to decide that, what I will do is feed her at like 2 a.m. when she's asleep. Her so she's not hungry, but any other time she wakes up outside of that, he'll handle it. And that's how we've done it with all of our kids, and it works pretty dang well. We'll have to see with her, but anyway, yeah, it is like starting to wear on me. And so I did make a big, huge, my big main life update is that I had this like absolute freak out about homeschooling. Yeah. And I made a big change for our family. Yeah, it feels like a big change to me. It's still kind of like a halfway midway point, but we found this really cool school that's like a homeschool pod type situation where it's just 4 hours, 4 days a week. So I do still have to do the, like some of the core stuff at home. They will be exposed to math and reading, but it's not like they're sitting down with their notebooks. That's just like not the point of the school. It's like a lot more based on prepping them for real life situations and entrepreneurship and working together in projects. And like they do really cool stuff like heart math and nonviolent communication, and it's going to be cool. Awesome for them. Yeah. And the outdoor space is beautiful and amazing. And I'm so excited. And the kids are super duper excited. So it's just for my two older ones. So I will still have the two younger ones at home. But I was just getting to the point where I was like, this is so tough. Temperaments and the personalities of your kids really matter when it comes to all things, right? And then with where I'm at currently with my level of capacity for BS and my capacity for the constant interruption, it was getting to the point where like I was so irritated in trying to get through the material with the homeschool day that I was like, this is not actually, this is like starting to have a negative effect on my relationship with my kids. Mm-hmm. because I am not happy when I'm doing this. And I'm feeling like so it was feeding into my feelings of failure. Like I failed at it, which is not a good feeling. And I sometimes, when I feel that way, just try to like crush it in to my preferences, like make it work, like just strong arm it. Mm-hmm. And we really just can't do that with motherhood.
Yeah. Or with anything as women. I feel like I just want to pause you really quick and highlight before you go on, because I feel like what I see with you and me, which other people might be able to relate to this, is I feel like we have lots of different roles as moms and women, and we have different communities, or we do, I do, that are a facet of all of those different roles. And in every role, we're like comparing ourselves to the people in that group. Like, I have my entrepreneurial friends who have businesses, you know? And so I'm like, okay, well, how am I doing in that world and trying to keep up in that space? And then we have like our doctor friends of like, how are we trying to keep up in that space? And then you have your homeschool friends. And so you're trying to do everything your homeschool friends do, but they aren't doctors and they don't have jobs necessarily. But you're trying to be just like them. And then you have, you know, the postpartum space or the pregnancy space or whatever. And it's like, because there's so many different roles that we play, it's like we're trying to be like the maximum of what all these other people in our community are in all of those different roles, but they don't necessarily have all of the same roles that we do, if that makes sense. And so, you know, that's something I see as like a level of burnout for myself and you too, in the sense that like some of our friends homeschool and they do it really well. And it's like their passion. They wanted to be teachers initially. They don't have any other maybe career to focus on, or, you know, maybe they're not newly postpartum. And so their season is just so different than yours. Yeah. And I think, you know, giving ourselves grace that we don't have to do everything like everybody else or perfectly or whatever, because we have to like find out what works with our family. Same with sleep. Like you mentioned, Sunny, with sleep, you know, in the natural community, people probably like really balk at the fact that I sleep trained AV. I didn't co-sleep with her, but it's like, that's not what worked for my family.
Yeah.
And it's just, we have to give ourselves grace as women, because I think we put so much expectation on ourselves, but then we're the ones that are burning out, you know, in the middle of it all. So anyways, you can keep going on with your story, but
yeah, exactly. It's like, we can't all be good at everything. And I think that it's normal, I think, to have that desire. And I needed that reality check that was like, yeah, you want this, you see what they do well, and you kind of envy that. Like, this is me talking about myself, right? Like, I envy a couple of my mom friends who are very good at this and who I've learned so much about. And it's not like I'm never going to go back to homeschooling. It's just like right now. And that's something that I had to like really like smack myself to be like, Morgan, stop it. This isn't forever. Like, this is just like right now. It's okay. Yeah. Like, you can get to that point at some point, maybe. And maybe I won't even want it right then. But I do, I look at these situations and I'm like, God, that is so beautiful. And I do think it's quote unquote like the best way, or the, you know, like the right way. And right now for my family, it's not.
Yeah.
So I just needed to make that shift and pivot. And it was really hard. And I was so sad about it. I was really, really a lot more upset about it than I thought. And it's so funny, because it's like, for the kids and their perception, they're like so excited.
They're so excited about they don't want to be like home necessarily all day with like each other. I wouldn't have wanted that with my siblings.
I think that they don't complain about being home, but it's just that like, this is so cool to be at this like new thing, and because it's not all day long, and it's also not like sit at a desk, it's very different. And so in one way, it's not really going to one of the pieces of this decision that I thought was maybe going to be cool was like, it was going to give myself and Wes the experience of like, well, what would it be like if we sent our kids to school? Like, because something that I love about homeschooling is the flexibility in our life. I love being able to like go on vacation whenever we want, or like go to the mountains, or you know, putz around the valley and like hang out with friends and not have to be like, oh, I have to be back in time to pick up, da da da. Like, that kind of a stringent schedule like wigs me out. I don't really like that. Yeah. So I love the flexibility in it. And also for my oldest, my son, who's like technically a third grader, he's 8, he'll be 9. He has wanted to go to a public school, or, you know, what quote unquote, what he sees school is like. And I'm like, bro, it's not like High School Musical. There's not people like hanging out in these groups all the time. Like, yes, they hang out and they have friends. And I know I loved public school. I think you probably did too. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that we're trying to do right now for our family. But I think that he really has this warped perception of what it actually is. And I'm like, if you don't want to sit down with me and do this like 20-minute math lesson, you are going to like be not happy sitting in a desk for 7 hours. But yeah. So I think it is like it's a little bit of a segue where like he gets to see what it would be like to be gone somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. 4 days a week. And I told them, I was like, there will be sacrifices with this. Like there will be some times when I come and I pick you guys up that like Sloan and Sunday and I, the two younger ones, will have gone like to the zoo. Mm-hmm. Or like we will have done something because we were putzing around in the morning, like doing our thing, you know, that you guys would normally have been with me, but you're at this school now. And I'm going to try to prioritize it so that we can do things in the afternoon. But with traffic and, you know, the flow of the day and like activities and dinner and stuff like that, it's usually you get out in the morning time. That's just like what you do as a mom. So anyway, it's going to be a big adjustment. We'll see. But I just feel like at least for this year, I feel really good about what they're doing in the school. And I think that that's super cool. And I'm just, something needed to change. Like I could not, it was like the idea of the definition of insanity, which is like, you just keep doing the same thing over and over again mm-hmm. and expecting it to be different. And it felt like, I was just like, nope. Like I totally just shut down. I was like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore. I literally like got up off the couch. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it was just like this moment where I was trying to read a book and I just like could not do it. I could not get it done. Like every 6 or 7 seconds, somebody was saying something, doing something, raising their hand. And I had like the rule. It was like, we don't talk when mommy's reading a book, like da da da. I don't refer to myself as mommy. I say I, but anyway, you know, like, and it just was like impossible. And then the baby is at that age where she's like pulling anything that's plugged into the wall out of the wall and mm-hmm. nearly walking. And like, anyway, so it's just not happening. So that's a huge life update for me, is just that I'm making some shifts and trying to adjust still to the pattern of having 4 kids. My goal with homeschooling is to bring it back to some level. I like the blended approach, and I'm not so beholden on homeschooling, meaning that like I'm the one that has to do the teaching. I guess I do just like the alternative schooling options. And so something like that. But that's the cool thing about being parents, is that we get to change it. You know, it's just like one of those things of going with the flow and the pivot. And, you know, we may have different plans for the way that it's going to go with motherhood. And sometimes this is like what we were talking about before we started recording, is that like pregnancy is not your time of thriving.
No, definitely not.
And whereas for me, it is. Yeah. And I love being pregnant, but then you thrive in postpartum and I crumple away and die.
I hope I'm going to thrive in this postpartum. That's,
I think you the will. Goal. Yeah. That's, and so it's just like we have a plan for the way that things are going to go, and we have wants and wishes. And then we have to intersect that with the reality of what's before us and like what's actually happening in our life. Who are our children? What are they like? What's their temperament? And what is working or what is not? Plus mm-hmm. all these other factors that are happening. And so yet again, another lesson under the belt here from having
kids. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I bring this back to my story all the time on the fertility journey. Just like with you, all of your struggles seem to be more in like the parenting world. And maybe I will have more of those struggles once I have more kids. But, you know, obviously getting pregnant, you want everything to be perfect and optimal and ideal. I know the optimal way to do it, which is not to have to do IVF, which is not to inject myself with hormones, which is not to, you know, have to travel to some strange clinic to get pregnant. You know, these aren't ideal ways to do it. And sometimes that's what we have to do, and we pivot and we make different decisions based on what's in front of us. And so even if there, the same thing can be said about breastfeeding, right? Like mm-hmm. one of our colleagues, she's going to be doing an episode this season about, she knows that breast is best, how important breastfeeding is and all this stuff. And what happens, she's a naturopathic doctor like us, what happens when you don't have a supply, when something is changing in your life? And so I think these are the real moments that people can relate to, because obviously we would love for everything to be textbook and perfect and for all of us to have a homestead with, or an organic garden that has never touched glyphosate, where we are, kids are homeschooled and, you know, we have 7 hours a day to do self-care, and we also have like an insane income and, you know, like all of these things that are just not reality.
Right.
And so we're in every season. I mean, that's why I love the word season for women so much, because I feel like women, our experience of our life changes so much so quickly, just like seasons do.
Yeah.
And it could be 3 months later, 6 months later, and you're in a completely different season. You're in a completely different space where you have different information, or you have different desires or wants, or, you know, whatever it is that's going on. And I think it's okay to pivot. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. So, I love that. I think season is a perfect word for women. Like, we're cyclical, and seasons are also cyclical. And it's like, there's going to be times that are hard, and there's going to be times that are easier. And what I think I'm learning is just this new adjustment to four kids, which it's not new. It's 10 months in, but the first year of the baby changes every couple weeks, it seems like.
You're in a new season.
Because yeah, I'm in a new season, but it feels like multiple seasons in that one full
totally.
Year. It is, though. Like,
there's It is. It's yeah. very different having a newborn that just lays around like yes. a lump versus the season where she's getting into everything.
Yes.
Homeschooling in those two seasons are very different.
Yes. And I didn't do it then because it felt really hard. And now I'm like, oh, I have more mental capacity, but now she's – I have to watch her every single second. She's in everything. And yeah. it's like, okay, then I try to do it during her nap. And we do get some of it done. The three-year-old is the one that really throws a wrench in the situation with the three, almost four-year-old, I should say, with the homeschooling stuff. But it's like, whatever, you know, because then I think back, I'm like, well, what are all these other families doing? I know that these families are doing it. And it's really just about releasing so many judgments, like judgments on ourself, which I have a hard time doing. I definitely am like I think I used to be more people pleasing outwardly. I've always, my whole life though, been very, very tough on myself. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of had this like pathological, I feel like I have a good self-esteem and I'm confident in things, but I have this pathological sense that like, if I want something, I just have to work harder and then I get it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work like that with parenting. And I know yeah. I've said that a million times, but it shocks me still. I still have to remind myself again and again and just be like, no, they're not controllable in the way that like if I personally have a goal to lift some sort of weight or something like that I can get there. It's not like that when you're
yeah.
blending now all these different personalities and these different things. Also, it's about releasing judgments of like other people and what's going on, right? So it's like, as you were saying, you also don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Oh, I have this story to share, which I think I've shared here before. Okay, maybe it was Brené Brown that told this story. That was like, she was judging herself. She was taking her kids to church or something. And her kids mm-hmm. were like feral, hair not brushed, clothes a mess, like whatever, not, you know, being so loud and disruptive. And there was this family that had like five or six kids and they were all perfectly dressed and their hair was perfect and their clothes were perfect. And they were just sitting with their hands in their crotch in their mm-hmm. lap. And she was judging her own family against this other family and just like really being hard on herself and being like, what is... how? Why can't mm-hmm. I do that? Like, why are my kids like this instead? And da 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 da. And so then, like after church, she was standing in the parking lot talking with a friend, and she said, "Did you see that family? That like blah 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 blah." Because in her mind, she meant like, "Wow, that's so impressive." And this friend goes, "Yeah, isn't that really fucking weird?" Like, is it? And so it's so funny because these two people looking at the same situation, one of them perceiving it as like, wow, what a goal I don't have. And then one of them yeah. perceiving it as, no, that's actually like really weird that your five kids were sitting there completely still and perfectly done up. Like, what are you doing to them at home? You're like crushing mm-hmm. their face or something, like breaking them like horses to not be disruptive, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
And so anyway, just like not judging ourselves, other people, like nobody knows exactly what the right way to do it is. And we're all just trying to do the best. But man, it is really hard when you hold to a goal. Like I've just always had this as part of my mind, and to just continue to be faced with it, that it's like, it's not working. It's not working. This is so hard. Like it is, I can do it, but it's like, it takes 110% out of me. And then I feel yeah. irritated and annoyed. And like the personality brush up with some of the kids is like, it's just like, whoa, I don't know. I need to figure out a different way to do it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of like my main thing. And then just adjusting to life with Sunny. Sunny is amazing and beautiful and adorable. And it's such a like sweet end cap to our family. And she's really like everybody's baby because of the ages that everybody is, like almost four and then 5.5 and 8.5. They're all, especially Gage, the 8.5. He's like, this morning, he came into my room. I was just finished nursing her, and he laid in the bed with me and like cuddled her and was just like oogling over her and like kissing her hands and playing with her. And then he picked her up and he brought her out into the living room and he got a blanket and he wrapped her up in the blanket. And then he brought her into this little area that we have underneath our stairs where it's like a little cozy. We call it the comfy cozy zone. And he went into the comfy cozy zone and he like laid her down and was like cuddling with her. And he went and he got the Yodo box and he was playing music and stuff. I was just like, oh, this is so sweet. Oh. So like they all have their own relationship with her and it's really sweet to watch. And yeah, I don't know. I just can't believe that it's already been 10 months. It has the first three or four months feels like 10 years of mm-hmm. agony and misery to me. Mm-hmm. And then it's all just been a blur. She's still definitely the last one. Wes is actually going to get his vasectomy probably in November, which I know that's another thing that like the natural community judges heavily. And I just don't care. You can judge away if you want. I don't care. Yep. I am not getting pregnant again. I am not having another baby. Luckily, we have been extremely fertile. And I don't want to do the natural plan. I don't want to do what we have been doing, which is worked well. We've never had up until we got pregnant with Sunday, I guess, was the an oopsie situation, but not in a mistake way. It was definitely like a beautiful, I knew she was coming. I just didn't think that it was coming then, but I knew that there was this fourth baby. I do not feel a fifth baby, but I don't put it past us that if there was sperm meeting egg, that there would be a fifth baby. And it's like, I don't want that to happen anymore. So I don't want to worry about it every month. And I just were like, no, we're not doing this. There's quite a big age gap between my husband and I. So I'm 34 and he is 42, mm-hmm. gonna be 43. And so I have like 10 plus years still of fertility.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to
long
like
time.
Every single month
be all perimenopausal pregnancy, which happens.
Yeah. Y'all worried about it. I just don't want to do it. It's really not something I am like calm about. I know sometimes people are like, well, if it happens, it happens, it's okay. And I understand that, but I don't feel that for myself. Mm-hmm. So we will be permanently, and I know that they can have mistakes. I get that. And he's gonna do all the testing and we're just gonna like hope and pray. And hey, if another baby comes back besides me, then okay, like you're meant to be here, I guess. I really don't think so, although I know some people do think so. I sometimes get random messages from people that I don't know, and they're like, I had just had a dream that you had a fifth, and da da da. And I'm like,
oh my gosh,
it feels like so much, I just can't do it. So anyway, that is where I'm at. And then yes, business wise, like it's so tricky to manage, but as you and I both are really passionate about the work that we have and we love this and we love, I will speak for both of us because I know you do. Mm-hmm. We both really love making this podcast mm-hmm. and hearing about how it's helpful to people is also like such a big deal because it's so much nicer to be able to talk in this long form way.
Yes.
Doing like little short snippets and stuff on Instagram. It's so hard.
It's so much harder.
I know. It's so much harder. I'm getting really over it, actually.
I know. For anyone who's not a content creator and doesn't know how hard it is to make short form content, I just want to be like, you need to, anyone who you follow who makes short form content, I don't know, send them like,
I'm on the back.
Like a heart or something. I don't know. It's so hard. I would rather podcast all day long. I would rather talk in front of a million people. Like I would do anything other than short
I agree
form.
It's because it forces you to simplify a very complex topic in like a couple seconds, and it's just not even possible sometimes.
Well, and it's like that's not even to me, that's not even hard. It's coming up with some way that's trendy that like is well, for like the algorithm or whatever. Like if I could just talk in like snippets, you know, on something, that's one thing. But I don't know. I guess I could just do more of that. But just the effort of editing it and then, you know, uploading it and having a caption. And, you know, we do it for you guys because we love you and we want you to like have this information. But it is so much work, I think.
Yeah, it is. And then it really, for me, it really depends on where I'm at in my cycle.
Yeah.
Because if I'm ovulating, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this idea. I have that idea. Da, 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 da. And like the editing doesn't bother me. But when I'm any other time, it's so annoying. Oh, yeah. It can be really. That's why I like to hop on stories. I really love stories because I can just pop on there and have my little mini podcast monologue for 100 slides. But yeah, creating the content is tricky, but it is just like the way that it is now in 2024 to get people to sort of like trust you, see that you're an expert in this situation, and then maybe work with you in a different kind of way, right? That's like our goal mm-hmm. in having these like group calls, you know, options that we offer and helping walk people through the problems that they have, whether that's getting pregnant or being prepared for the baby to come afterwards. Like that's our whole thing. And it's like we want you guys to have the best situation possible with this process because it is so special to us. And motherhood is like the best thing that's happened to me. And I would say for you as well, mm-hmm. it's like, but man, it can be also a struggle. There's just so much that everybody has to be responsible for now. It's just a bummer. It's a bummer, but it is the reality. We, as the mothers of the household, have to be responsible to be almost like a mini doctor, a mini this, mm-hmm. a mini that, and know all the things, because our world is so different now. And so it's our passion to try to like help on that pathway, right? And to push it along. And so it's tricky though, right? For both of us, because we do love working and we do work and we both mm-hmm. are, we bring in income. It's not like we're the main breadwinners in each of our family, but it's important. We have to do it. It's like very difficult to live on one income family these days. But then intersecting that with mothering is very tricky. So I know that that is part of like what your update's about. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what's been happening in your life and how pregnant you are and everything.
Yeah. Well, if I didn't have like the constant nausea, I probably would forget that I was pregnant sometimes, which has been well, not really. It's more like because I'm so distracted. It's not because I like feel so good. I've just noticed the difference with the second pregnancy. You know, with Avia, it's not that I'm not excited about it. I am. I'm very – it's just been a weird pregnancy, because I know any of you who've listened to me for a while know that I was really sick for the first, you know, 6 to 7 months. And I'm still struggling. Like even now as we speak, I ate a great dinner. I had the sausage, potato, and green bean dinner and a peach for dessert. That sounds like it should be totally great. My stomach, I am so bloated. I feel so uncomfortable. My nausea is like a 3 to 4 out of 10. It's like, I can't win, you know, like there's no winning with anything. And I forget what it's like to feel good. And I know that 7 months isn't that long to forget that, but it feels like it's been forever. And so I am really excited for this baby to come. But weirdly, when I think about it, it's like I'm more excited to just not be pregnant than to be like, I'm so excited to meet this baby, because I actually don't feel ready in my life yet to have a brand new newborn. And so that's kind of where I'm at, is I was in this fog of just barely surviving, having really dark moments, really hard times. I've kind of come out of that fog. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do before this baby gets here. And just like you said, like we have a lot of facets, or just like I said too, to ourselves, you know, I love my work. I also need to work right now. And I was doing other types of work the last year, creating content, you know, course curriculum and all sorts of content for Oh Baby Nutrition and Needed. And that was really awesome, because it was something I could do internally, and I didn't have to have a lot of outward energy. And I'm really excited because I'm launching my fertility formula this fall, a live version of it. So I'm going to be leading women through it for 6 weeks before my maternity leave. And I'm very excited about that, because this is my passion, right? I really want to help women. I'm very excited about that. And it requires a lot of work. And so I'm preparing that and trying to juggle, you know, being a good mom to Avi, doing all the things I need to do in this pregnancy, prepping for maternity leave, you know, prepping a business. We own businesses. So it's not like I can just tell my boss, hey, I have maternity leave coming up and I'm so excited to get my paycheck every week that I get for going on maternity leave. Like that doesn't happen for us. And my husband is also self-employed. So neither of us get any sort of compensation over our maternity / paternity leave. So we really have to plan ahead for that. And that's kind of the season I'm in. And so I want to be like, I want to be in both places, because I've come out of this fog. And so I get a little bit back of my old self, which is this person who loves being a doctor, who loves being a content creator, who loves guiding women and doing all of this stuff. And there's like that part of me that I felt like goes away for the first two trimesters of my pregnancies, both babies that have been like that. And then when I get it back, I kind of feel like a part of myself has come back, and I'm like, I love this, you know, and I want to be in it. But then at the same time, it's like, oh my gosh, no, I need to be like prepping for labor. You know, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm in like full work mode, and I need to be in like prepping for labor mode, and I'm not there yet. I mean, I listened to the VBAC link. So again, for anyone who doesn't know my story, we ended up having to have a C-section, and we have an episode on
my birth story, but I'm trying for a home birth VBAC, so vaginal birth after cesarean. And I've been listening to the VBAC Link, which is another podcast of birth stories and stuff. And it's not that I am not confident that I can do the birth, but I definitely have some fears that are coming up, you know, around just like, can my body actually do it? You know, because when your body doesn't, I had a failure to progress this situation, and everything that happens to us, you know, we can store in our bodies and have traumas or whatever. And it just takes processing and moving that through to get to, you know, a better place. So I'm doing some of that, but I feel like I need to be doing more of it to just really get myself there so that I'm ready. And then just logistically, you're so good about keeping up on me, because you know I don't, about just like, do you have everything you need? And I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't think about those things. Like, yes, I need to get diapers. Like, oh my gosh, we're going to have diapers for this baby. I just, you know, it's like not even something that's on my mind, yet I'll spend like 10 hours making Instagram posts when really I should be ordering diapers. So I want to get to the place where I can just, you know, cocoon in and get ready for this labor. But I'm in a very interesting and unique season with all of that. And even, you know, I'm still struggling to eat. I'm still struggling to take my supplements. I just had a healing session with one of my favorite people who does healing, and she was helping me process some of the trauma, because there's different types of practitioners that do, you know, subconscious work. And so she was kind of helping me. She was going to help me get easier into like taking my prenatal. I just have a lot of, you know, memories of vomiting and all sorts of stuff around it. And it's like, I literally just started crying the whole time. I was crying, like obsessively crying about my sickness and this pregnancy. And she's like, oh my gosh, there's so much trauma here. And so we ended up doing like a whole trauma release session. I didn't even realize I was holding, you know? And so,
because you don't cry.
No, I don't cry very often. And I was like shocked myself, but it was just so, I've done so much different, like so many different types of trauma release and emotional release, because so much of my journey has been really challenging, and I am an external processor and I really need help. So like, I see a lot of people. So I've seen a lot of practitioners, which again, we have a whole episode on that, but I also have resources on my website if you guys want to learn more about the types of practitioners that I've seen that help with a lot of this stuff. But I just didn't realize how much that was affecting me, because again, sometimes trauma, it's little t trauma, right? It's not like I was hurt. I didn't have some crazy thing, but you know, when you have an experience like I had where I felt like I had food poisoning for 6 months, and just like the depths of the places that I went,
yeah,
dark places, and you know, having all of these negative associations to food, which is something that I used to love and hopefully will love again. You know, it's just a lot, and we kind of just push it down and don't think much about it.
And there's not space to think about it because you're mothering another baby and still working.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not space sometimes in these subsequent pregnancies to connect with the baby, to even think about the baby. Like I remember exactly where I was when I was 32 weeks pregnant, or maybe I was 34. And I was at this like meditation thing when I was pregnant with my second Wasabi. And mm-hmm. It was like literally the first time in that pregnancy that I had been like, whoa, there's another baby coming and I don't know anything about her. Like, I have not tried to connect or like tune in, and I haven't really like talked to her or been like that excited. I know in the back of my mind, and like, yeah, I feel the movements and blah, blah, blah. But it just like it's so different than the first time that you're pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, AV wants me to do a bunch of things that I literally can't do because I either am too sick or I'm pregnant. You know, like the other day, she's like, run and jump over this ball and like sit on this poof and then like pivot and slide on your tummy. And I'm like, I can't because I'm pregnant, honey. And it's so sad because now she's playing pregnancy a lot, which is the way that she processes things, right? Kids like process through play. And she tells me a lot. Like the other day, she wanted me to take a dress off of her doll And I was like, can't you do it? She's like, I can't, I'm pregnant. She has been using the I can't, I'm pregnant excuse for so many things. Oh, clearly, I'm saying it a lot, right? It's
hilarious. She's like, doesn't really get what it means, but she's like, okay, when mommy says that, whatever she means, whenever mom says that, she doesn't have to do the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it.
You know, I think she even knows. I mean, she plays pregnancy all the time. She plays it. She has a baby in her tummy that it's kicking. She's constantly obsessed with tucking in her baby dolls and singing to them. And she's so maternal. It's insane. I mean, I think she's just going to love this baby so much. But she's also been having a lot of sleep issues. Waking up a lot, wanting to come into our bed. And I'm in this place again where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like these are the last few months that I have just you. And so it's like, I know I should be like more strict and like, no, because it really disrupts Mike and I's sleep. And I don't know what's going on with her, if she's feeling the transition of the new baby coming or what is going on, if she's having a leap. But, you know, almost every night she wakes up and, you know, wants to come into our bed. And at first she would cry and we'd go into her crib. And now she just, because she can get out of the crib by herself because she's almost three. So she just now comes in. Like last night, she came in with her pillow and her blanket and her bunny all ready to go.
She's like, I'm moving in.
She's like, not, can I come in your bed? Because it used to be she would wake up and cry and we'd go to her. And now she just is like, well, it's easier for me to just bring all the stuff and like come right in.
So she's sleeping in between you now?
Well, she said, yeah. So in the middle of the night, I don't sleep very well. This is why I can't co-sleep. I do not sleep at all when she's in the bed. If someone makes any noise or moves, I can't sleep. And Mike sleeps better, but not great. But she's very into mommy right now. So she's like, I want to sleep with mommy. And there's been a couple times where I've snuck away upstairs after she's fallen asleep. And she comes up and wakes me up in the middle or in the morning and is like, where did you go? Like, was just so upset that she didn't wake up next to me. And it's so sad. So like last night I told Mike for him to go up into the guest room and I slept with her, but it's like, I don't sleep very well. And you know, we've been really good about boundaries around sleep, which is why she's probably been such a good sleeper. But I've kind of been giving into them more because I'm like, it's just like, I'm so tired. It's not worth fighting. And there's a part of me that's like, like I only have like two more months with you without a little baby where I don't know. So I'm having all of these feels of how life's going to change with the baby. And I'm very nervous about the sleep deprivation that's coming. So yeah, I feel like I'm in an interesting place where I'm hustling really hard business-wise, processing a lot of emotions, and also trying to wrap my head around the fact that this baby's coming. But I'm not fully there yet. And I'm just wondering when I'm going to get there.
Probably just like in those last couple of weeks. And that's okay. I think that that's just how it is. It's like you have this big, you know, more right in front of your face project of work first. Mm-hmm. And then any free time that you have, not free time, but like when you pull away from work, you like look around your house and there's like a three-year-old or not even three-year-old there. There's a, you know, 2 year, 9 months, whatever she is. She's like a month away from three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Either way, then, you know, you're like playing with her and you're pulled away from that. And then you have your relationship with Mike and then you have your friends and then all these different things. And it's like, what, at the very end of the day, when we go to sleep and then our babies start to kind of like kick around in our bellies and stuff like that, that we kind of like, oh, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah, I know. Well, and oh my gosh, we floated the river for my sister's birthday this summer. And there were a couple times when I got out. The river's very gentle here, but there were a couple like rapid places. And I was getting out and like trying to hold the tube with one leg. And I was in the river with my other leg because Avi was in the tube. And long story short, I essentially strained my entire pelvic floor.
Oh no.
I know. So I've been going to pelvic PT trying to fix it. But I'm like, uh-oh, because I already have a really gnarly history of painful intercourse and pelvic floor issues. And I'm just like, I cannot believe that this happened before giving birth. Because like,
wait, you strained your pelvic floor? Or was it like your pubic symphysis or your sacrum? Or was it the muscles?
No, it's like all the muscles. Like, because I think it overstretched and then my body's now been guarding. And so like the pain in my pelvic floor is like it was in my early years of having painful sex. And
I'm just like, I cannot believe this. And yeah, so I've been trying to do some work and going to them like almost weekly, but it's affected my ability to exercise or walk.
Because it hurt
much. Yeah, it feels like my whole pelvic floor, I mean, it's insane. Like, we went on a couple mountain trips this summer and just hiking just short distances, you know, walking uphill, just like terrible, you know, walking, getting up from standing. And I'm just, I think about you and my old midwife, which whatever about that, but just like, you need to, you know, squat and lunge and just all, and I'm like actually really having a hard time doing any of those things at all because of my pelvic floor. So that's a new, also little bummer. But hopefully we'll get through that as my doula that you don't know that you are.
Well, I do. I'm in. I'm all over it.
Yeah. We have to – yeah, I'm going to have to get creative on stuff. We'll see.
I think that that's something that a lot of people also don't talk about, is just that we can have different pains and things that prevent us, or bed rest. Sometimes people aren't able to move at all for they're like literally in the bed, or they maybe have some kind of a milder version where it's like a pelvic bed rest, like where they're not allowed to exercise. They can walk, but they can't exercise and they can't have sex and different things like that, because maybe there's like a imminent, you know, preterm labor situation mm-hmm. that's happening for them for whatever reason, short cervix or whatever. And it's like that restrictive movement and how you in your mind, again, as like somebody who knows, quote unquote, knows like what should be happening too, it can feel like even worse. Mm-hmm. And so I feel for you in that, because I don't know if you remember at the end of my pregnancy with Sunday though, but like I had the craziest hip and I don't really know what it was.
Yeah, I remember you going to the chiropractor a lot.
Oh my gosh. And I was able to walk. But sometimes it would hurt really bad. But then also at the same time, sometimes the walking would help it. It was like, I felt like mm-hmm. I should have taken Russ Talks. And actually, is there a homeopathic that you maybe could take?
Yeah, that's a good question. I usually always go to homeopathy, you know, that I do for everything. I didn't even think about that. Maybe because it doesn't feel like prolapse, but it feels like my whole pelvic floor is just
tight, like a ball.
It just feels really painful, like as if I pulled a muscle, but it's my pelvic floor, which I think a lot of us forget that whole pelvic floor are muscles, but it's just not really getting better. Well, and then the smoke has been so bad here because there's so many fires in Idaho. So I'm not even really walking that much because of the air quality. It's, you know, there's just nothing has been going ideal for my pregnancy. So there's just so
it's
many.
Gonna be okay. It's going to be okay. People give birth in all sorts of different situations. And, you know, even if you can just do like a little bit of stretching or movement in a way that doesn't aggravate it, you know, that can just help you stay kind of loose and limber. But I don't think that you like absolutely are, you know, screwing yourself over by not going on walks and different things like that. Is it ideal? Yes, for sure. Sometimes, but obviously right now it's not ideal because mm-hmm. you need to heal. And it's just something that I think that people don't really talk about, is like some of these different weird kind of pain things, or like pubic symphysis disorder.
Yeah.
Which is like where those two front bones of your mm-hmm. pubic symphysis can become separate, that it can be like an absolutely debilitating painful thing while pregnant and be really, really tough. Kinesio taping. I don't know if that would help with floor stuff. Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have a pubic symphysis issue because I think the whole pelvic floor got pulled apart.
Yeah. And then kind of
by the river, which was very strong. It was like having a giant pull my legs apart like Barbie.
Oh my God. So,
yes, I had one leg on a huge tube with, like, I can't even tell you the force of this river. It was like a rapid. So I had one leg in the river and my other leg holding a tube. So yes, I had like probably, I don't even know how many pounds of force,
like the torque,
an insane amount of force pulling my legs apart.
Did you feel it in the moment? Were you like, oh no, this happened?
I was so nervous. Well, because it was just a really weird part of the river that I was very concerned that if I let go with my leg of the tube, that Avi would go down the rapid by herself. It was not ideal. Mike should have been there. He was like coming and it was just getting too close. I was like, I need to get out of this tube, but I didn't realize like the force of the river. It was just like a huge, huge mistake because I just didn't think about it being pregnant with relaxin and all of these other things that, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I literally think it literally pulled my whole pelvis apart. So yeah, I feel pubic symphysis pain too, but
Dang.
Yeah, I'll get there. It's just this pregnancy is just like, what in the world? I cannot wait to not be pregnant again, which is so sad, you know, because we don't know.
It's okay. That's how I feel about postpartum. I'm just like, neither of them are better than the other, but I do feel like it makes sense, but we put like guilt on ourselves about everything. It's like, you feel like right now that you should be enjoying this because you're like, whatever. And then I feel the same way that I'm like, I have this baby in my arms and I am like counting down the days for this to be over. Like, I cannot wait for this baby to just be like 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. It just sucks. But you know, we all have our moments with whatever it is, whether it's sometimes it's the pregnancy and the postpartum are great, but then the birth was horrible, or sometimes people have a hard, you know, whatever. There's always like some that go well and some that don't. And it's just like, we're not immune to that just because we have this information. And yes, there are ways that we can try to like set ourselves up for the best of success, but life is not predictable. It's not controllable. And like in that moment, you know, you were just mama bearing it. You were being the protector for Avie, because who knows what would have happened to her.
I know, gosh. She's like, got on like, she probably would have been fine, because it's not like their class, you know, rapids. I mean, this is like a river, but it was a very strong part of the river. And yeah, I think it's just different having the second. And, you know, obviously everyone knows that has listened how badly I wanted babies, the infertility journey. I know anyone listening who's going through the infertility journey, you know, in those moments, you're just like, I would take a crappy pregnancy, you know, a crappy birth, any of it, to just be pregnant, to just have a baby. And I get that. And I've been there. And the reality is, even if you want it so bad, even if you've like gone through all of this effort and struggle to get there, it doesn't negate the fact that these other seasons can still be hard.
Yes.
And I think people who've gone through infertility, I'm maybe speaking for myself only, but I've had patients share similar things, that they do feel really guilty if they complain about their pregnancy, or if they're having a hard time postpartum, you know, with postpartum depression or whatever, because it's like, you wanted this so badly, you worked so hard for it, it's what you've always like wanted, and so you feel like there shouldn't be any other struggle. And when there is, it can be hard, but just know you're not alone.
Yeah, or as if like your gratitude should supersede any struggle that you ever have in every moment. I feel like that's kind of like a boomer generation thing to think more, is that like, well, just you wanted this. Like,
you got the baby in your arms. It doesn't matter that you had a traumatic C-section or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, you know what? You can all just sit down.
Or like my mom, bless her heart, when I was so sick, which I get it. Like, I'm all into manifestation and living as if and stuff. But she's like, just imagine you're not sick.
And you're like, sweet, thanks.
I'll do that. I was like, oh, that's really nice. I wish. That's a great solution. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Well, and it's not even just our thoughts about it. It's like, there's hormones that are literally ruling the ship, and we can feel hijacked. That's how I feel postpartum. And it's probably how you were those first, I mean, you're coming out of a fog. You keep saying fog. And it's like, I do feel like I see you now more than even just like a month ago. It's like, you're back and you're like doing all these things that Leah does, that like Leah used to do. And it's like, yes, you were sick and you were having all these different adjustments, and there was this entirely different hormonal picture ruling your body.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel with postpartum too. I feel like I am not myself. Like, yeah, of course, nobody would expect you to be yourself when you're like not sleeping and you're taking care of all these different things and da da da. But it's more than that. It's like,
yeah.
And I am hijacked by this different hormonal picture where everything about everything is feeling really different. And it's like an adjustment. And it also feels like it changes month to month, or sometimes week to week, or day to day, moment to moment, you know, it's just kind of a wild thing. Like, women have a lot of experiences of like this in our life, because just through the monthly cycle, we have that to a minor degree. Obviously, pregnancy, birth, postpartum is amplified. And it's just like, whoa, we do. We all just need to be like a little bit more grace on ourselves and not putting so much pressure, and, you know, kind of being like, hey, this is just like a real crappy time. And at least for me, and I don't know about for you, but you may, if your memory is like mine, you'll just forget about it.
Yeah. Well, that's like the other thing that's been coming up, is we have one more embryo. There's no guarantee that it will survive, which means like, if we place our hearts on the fact that we want more kids, we'll have to go through IVF again, potentially, which is a whole thing that I'm like, I don't even know about that. And then if we don't get pregnant with this third embryo, it's like, oh my God, like that's our embryo. But I don't know if I can do this again because I've been so sick and it's been so hard on my mental health and my physical health. And it's like, I can't make that decision right now because I'm in the middle of it. But that's the other thing where it's like, okay, if this is our last baby, like I am not soaking it up. And am I going to look back on this time and be like, oh my gosh, like I was just trying to rush through this pregnancy and get to the end. And then like, that was it. Like, you know, because we have to make really conscious decisions because of how we build our family. It can't just be like, oh, maybe we'll have a whoopsie accident. Like, I wish that could happen. Like, you guys, like, we have to be like, okay, are you going to like fly to California and like transfer this embryo? And if it doesn't work and now you have your heart set on a baby, now you have to go through IVF again. And, you know, it's just all of these things that it's like, I don't know if this is my last pregnancy or not. And that is another thing that I'm like processing right now.
Yeah.
Where I feel really crappy. And I'm like, I just want this to be over. And I'm like, wait, no. Like, this might be it. Like, this might be the last time I'm pregnant. And just all of these things. So, gosh, there's so much like floating around in my head.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's really heavy. I mean, I guess it's like live as if once he's here. I don't think that you need to be like super soaking up pregnancy since pregnancy is not really like the time that you like it, you know, like maybe have these mm-hmm. like conscious little moments. And even just the fact that you said that, like you're like thinking about it, you know, but hopefully like once he's here, it'll be a similar postpartum like AV. And then you can,
I hope so.
Like, yeah. And then you can have those moments, right? Where you're like, okay, yeah, I'm soaking this up and I love this. You'll probably be like, I'm so happy I never have to be pregnant again. If you decide that he's the last one, because that's how I feel about postpartum. I'm like, I never am going to do that again. I can't do it. I can't, I literally can't do it. I can't put my family through that again. And I know you feel that way with pregnancy because it's like Mike had to take over so many different things. And, you know, you just, this like suffering that we have sometimes is like, golly, it is so wild. I mean, and we're really lucky that we have the support that we do because, you know, there's situations out there where people don't have any of that. And boy, I wish I could just like wrap my arms around all those women because like, it's just something that nobody should ever have to experience. It's like, yeah, the sacrifices that we make, we knew that it was going to happen. And here's the thing too, about for people who are listening to this, haven't had kids. I complained on my Instagram stories the other day about this like really terrible night that I had with all my kids being awake all night long. And a couple people wrote me and they were like, wow, well, this is the birth control that I needed. Or like, see, this is what I'm scared of. Like, I can't do this. Da, da, da. And I think that sometimes it's just jokes, but at the same time, I know that that is something that people maybe are hearing and they're thinking like, what?
Yeah.
I don't want to do whatever these women have. Obviously, you guys, this is just us being real and like girl talking with you and venting mm-hmm. about
talking about the hardest parts, the literally. Joy that I experience with AV. I cannot even tell you. Like, there is nothing better than her. There's nothing better than nothing. Her. I'm obsessed with her. She is the cutest thing in the whole world. Like being with her, watching her, like being a mother. Cause I agree. When I was going through my infertility journey, I feel like all moms did was complain to me about how hard it was. They would always be like, you can have mine, you know, like all of those things. And they were just, it was so shitty. Like all the things were shitty. And I think it was because people were afraid to tell me all the good stuff because they didn't want to rub it in my face or whatever.
Mm.
But then I was like, I am having I literally reached out to people and I was like, can you tell me anything positive about being a mom? Because I'm like really freaking out about this right now.
One thing.
Because all anyone ever did was complain. And I maybe it was just because, you know, we as people, as women, we need to vent. And a lot of times the venting is like the bad stuff. We don't need to tell people how great our life is.
Yeah.
We just experience that. We need to like vent the hard parts. But I literally I had to ask people for positive experiences because it was getting so, so intense that like, is anyone liking their life?
Yes. It's unexplainable. Yeah. Like you said, you're like, I can't even tell you. And it's like, literally, that's why we don't do it, because it's not something you can put into words. You have to just experience it. And I think if anybody has the experience of like loving a pet, I mean, can you imagine that times like
a bajillion.
It's like, it's not even, they're not on the same level at all. I will go to the mm-hmm. grave about that. You want to fight me? We can fight about it. There is no situation or reality where loving a pet is the same as loving a child. It's just not the same. So, and if you have children and animals and you still think that, I don't know, Okay. Okay. You're probably an anomaly in that situation, but usually it's the people who just have pets and no children yet that say that. And they're like, no, I will, it would be the same. It's like, no, it's not the same. It is. And that's fine. I mean, like, not to say that, you know, I understand the love of pets too, but I think that sometimes people are like, ah, I got my pet, I'm good. Or like, you know, having a pet is hard. I don't know. Sometimes people just make this comparison to pets, and it's like, there's an instinctual primal drive that is a component of this that like literally resonates in your cells when you look at your child, and you would do anything for them. You would lay over train tracks for them. You would jump off a cliff for them. You would stab yourself in the face if you had to for them. You would do anything, and you love them so much on this like insane deep level, and like they fill you up, and watching them grow and like hearing the funny things that they say and being able to see their personalities come out. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing. And yes, sometimes those moments feel a little bit duller in the wake of difficulty that can be happening. And that is normal, and that can happen, but it's always there. And it's always the most amazing thing that you've ever experienced. You just also have difficulty sometimes, and that's okay. And that's what we're venting, because yeah, we're women and we like to process and discuss things. And also just so that nobody thinks that like we have these perfect hunky dory lives, because we don't. It's not always like that. And I just, the love of a child and the love of mothering and being able to like witness this process of these little kids is so beautiful. And I know, I feel like I've been having a lot of conversations lately with mothers of teens, which has been something historically that has like really freaked me out. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what is that going to be like? I feel like I'm really good with babies, and even just like the 8-year-old, like this new phase, it's really fun and it's beautiful in its own way, but it is a little bit trickier. Like, these kind of in between and like pre-adolescence, and then there's going to be adolescence and like da da da. But I am like seeing how all of these stages are going to be so beautiful and in different ways. Like, it's just all going to be such an adventure and a ride. And so I don't want this to feel like, holy moly, we're ending on this note where we like, you know, dislike it all. It's just that there's a lot. It's a lot. And we're just trying to be real. So
yeah, I feel like there's a quote that someone said. I think this is like the third quote I've butchered on this podcast. I clearly don't have a good memory. But it's something about like the pain is as equal to like the pleasure, or like however much things feel intense is like that's how much love and like greatness there is.
The duality. It's like, imagine like a small rock. Like, if we had that much pain, a small rock, we could only also have that much joy.
Yeah.
It's just like a smaller magnitude. Whereas like a boulder, like imagine a huge boulder, like you get all that joy and amazing positivity, but there's a duality to it. There's also a lot of like complexity then, and like sometimes despair or worry or whatever. Or sometimes people really freak out because they're like, I don't know how I would love something like that. I would be worried about it all the time. And it's like, yes, you are. And you just have to deal with it and like get over it and be like, yeah, there is this piece of this like heart walking outside of your body thing. And the anxiety of that is real, but it still doesn't supersede the idea to like not do it, because it's still amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
I love it. This is so great. Well, hopefully this helped. This is basically just us talking as friends, because we haven't everyone will be like, what are they talking about? This is crazy. But this is where we're at.
Yep, this is where we're at. And through this season, we're going to have a new birth story, a boy coming. We're going to have some really amazing interviews. We're going to be talking about, I will be talking about how to talk to your kids about sex and how to prepare your kids to be at birth, all about newborns, a lot of things that have to do with that kind of set of time of life, because that's where you're entering too. And I just think it's also like, people ask a lot of questions about it, and I love to talk about it. What are some of the main episodes that you're thinking about that are coming?
We have like hormone balancing hacks. I interview Lisa Hendrickson Jack, who wrote The Fifth Vital Sign and co-wrote The Real Food for Fertility. We have stuff about IVF, PCOS, toxins, male fertility, acupuncture, mold.
Awesome.
A bunch of things that can impact your journey to getting pregnant. So it's going to be a really good season.
Yay. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys all for being listeners. We love it. If you haven't already, please send us a little review, or even just like the rating. It does help it reach other people. And that is one of our goals in this coming year, is to spread the podcast reach, because we do feel like there's so much really helpful information here. And we're, you know, 70 something episodes in, and it just feels like let's get more people aware so that they can reap the benefits.
Yep. Amazing.
Thank you.
Bye.
Are you pregnant or trying to conceive and looking for reliable, engaging education around how to have a healthy pregnancy and prepare for the future aspects of motherhood to come, like birth, breastfeeding, and postpartum? Look, I've got you. This is exactly the education you'll receive with my 6-week pregnancy call. You get access to my most comprehensive resource of everything that I wish women knew before heading into motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 course, and postpartum planning class, all in one. And for 6 straight weeks, we meet for an hour each week on Zoom with a small group of like-minded women going through it too, for you all to ask me questions and get clarity from a trusted expert. I can walk through it with you and hold your hand. The 6-week pregnancy call is only offered 4 times a year, so get on the wait list now. Head to milkmedicine.com for more information or click the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.